better than ever. I've been noticing, I go back and look at some of your intros, and then I notice the difference in timing, like how long something plays for, how long the frame is black for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it always depends. It's a who knows what's going to happen every time you get over here.
Mm-hmm. It's always a work in progress.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. Yeah. That's why we're here. Yeah. Find out. What you got today, Will? Apple announces self-service. Oh, this is big news, man. Yeah. Apple announces self-service repair program starting with the iPhone 12 and 13. Louis Rossman, Right to Repair. It's been a hot topic, particularly with Apple. And I have my own personal experience and history with it because, my first business, I told you this before.
Oh, right.
Yeah, not my first business, but one of the things I did prior to posting videos online was actually do some of these repairs and stuff. I put batteries into iPods, and I did a lot of like early MacBook Pro repairs and things like that. Or troubleshooting. This was before it was an Apple store on every corner. And it was either you're going to have to send the thing away, go to an authorized Apple service center where it would cost you a lot and usually take time as well, or you could come to a cowboy like myself.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. And how I just cracked that baby open.
So how would the process work, though?
It was completely unauthorized. I had to tell them right away, like, your warranty is void.
Yeah.
Like, most of our conversations went that way, that they would say, look, I'm not going to pay the fee that Apple quoted me. Oftentimes,
sure,
people had already spoken to Apple, and then they ended up in my shop. And they said, I'm not going to pay the price, but I just want to know if there's any way to salvage this thing. And so often that would mean troubleshooting. The majority of the day consisted of troubleshooting. Like, my God, what is wrong with this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Often you would have a really easy kind of investigation if it was like water damage or something, or you saw some sort of corrosion or mineral deposits on top of the device, mm-hmm. like on the board after you cracked it open or something like that. And actually, we even developed a solution for that because I had some dude who was out in Kitchener, I think. I'm trying to remember where he was. Shout out this dude. And he was, if you had a repair that was beyond the scope of what you were capable of doing in store, this dude had the hefty equipment. He would be on a under the microscope type, replacing individual components and capacitors and things like right on the board.
So you would, where would you get the parts?
So often you would, well, this guy would be one source, the guy I just mentioned.
Mm.
He would take, in many cases, he would buy like a busted logic board from a laptop. So even if a person had spilt water on their keyboard of their MacBook Pro or something, not a lot of people knew this at the time, but Apple would come in and quote you $1,000 to have that repaired for the board.
Mm-hmm.
You would not want to pay that, obviously. They would talk you into buying a new one, which was fine. Like, that was their approach at the time. You would come to someone like me, and I would say, look, best case scenario, if it can be fixed, it's going to be like $500. So you're going to save like half.
Right.
But then I say, here's the third option. If you wanted a new laptop anyways, there's value in the item you currently have. And I just had it tight in my head. Like, I knew what a display was worth. I knew what the chassis was worth, the keyboard, if it was functioning. And I could just say, you can sell the unit as is right now with that damage for whatever price, mm-hmm. and then go buy a new one and forget about it. Move on with your life.
Yeah.
And that happened quite frequently, that people would go that route. And then I would send the parts to like this dude in Kitchener, and he would salvage what he could, and then send it back to me. And then often I would use those parts back in the store to install them.
Wow.
So there were complex repairs. There were easy ones. Sometimes you would have like a loose cable. The display cables used to come loose and some of those things. You could just crack it open, plug it back in, put better tape. Batteries was a common one, particularly when the original iPod came out.
Mm-hmm.
We would import third-party power bricks, MagSafe power bricks from China, because people didn't want to pay whatever it was at the time, $100 for an extra power brick, or if theirs was busted.
Mm-hmm.
So we would import those and sell those in the store. I mean, I even had a iPad import business when they weren't available in Canada, just getting them in from other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. Lots of stories from those days. But anyway, point being is Apple was always against it. They always, it wasn't like there were, I don't know, if they weren't threats or anything like that, but they just didn't make it easy to do these things. You could not get your hands on the material, the repair material, manuals, things like this. This is what Rossmann's been about forever. And warranties would be voided just by simply like removing the bottom panel, or I don't remember what it used to be at the time, but they would have little trap doors in there that like remove this particular sticker and game over type of thing, or push your screwdriver through this sticker to get to this one screw and you're done. And so it just was discouraging people from goofing around. Now, look, a lot of people want to goof around or want to have third-party repairs to make it, to give them more options and things like this. Others might jump inside their own device and screw it up. But regardless, it's been a controversial topic of conversation. Apple had their position for a long time and people disagreed with it. And people, including Louis Rossmann, and I think Linus got involved in conversation, I don't know who else, had been making the case that this should be up to the customer after they bought the thing. They should be able to do what they want with it and have it repaired where they want to have it repaired.
Sure.
And so it was stop and go traffic for a while as far as making this happen. Oh, iFixit's another one that's been in there.
Mm.
But now it looks like, I don't know if it's pressure from these individuals. I don't know all the inputs that led to this decision, but it looks like Apple is starting to embrace the self-service repair concept. Self-service repair program give customers who are comfortable with the idea of completing their own repairs access to Apple genuine parts, tools, and manuals starting with the iPhone 12 and 13 lineups. That's nice, man. I don't know what they're going to charge for these parts. It's going to probably be a premium, but you can get the genuine parts and you can do the labor yourself and you can get the genuine manual so you know you're doing it right if you feel comfortable doing that. I think this is great news. The self-service repair program will be facilitated by a new Apple self-service repair online store offering more than 200 individual parts and tools to complete iPhone 12 and 13 repairs at launch. So at launch, meaning eventually it will support more devices. I think the laptops would be big. Another one I almost forgot, on those early iPods, the headphone jack would constantly be busted. Right. Yeah. Constantly have to, they would crack, the contact, metallic contact points would break off. You would have one channel of sound coming out of the headphone jack. We would order those for, I don't know, $15 or something from China. It was such a common repair. And crack those babies open. I mean, there's so many different things we did. Sometimes it was aesthetic. They had the scratched up one and they just wanted a new shell put on. Anyway, this is good. It's great news. Yeah, I think I like options. I think people should be able to do what they want. I love those early days. I always had this
tinker.
Yeah, I was always in tinker town, especially as a youngster. Like, I always want to crack these things open and see what I could do, see what I could fix. I often was buying these like busted units for that reason.
Sure.
And salvaging parts and it's just, it's cool, man.
You learn more about it.
You do. You have a more intimate relationship with your device. And maybe most importantly, you are able to hold on to things longer. Things remain usable and useful to you longer. And once you're in a sort of repair mindset, you don't need to extract from the planet in the same way. Like I always find it funny that Apple is always bragging about the environment as they're trying to tell you to buy their new thing, which you may or may not need. Like, a lot of their old stuff is still good.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, out the other side of their mouth, they're saying, don't you dare repair that. Give it back to us. And then you hear reports of third-party companies buying up the refurbished or broken stuff and then just, like, incinerating it or sending it to some other place that it's not going to be used properly. It's hard to figure out what to do with this stuff. In some cases, the right repair shop or even the individual is going to put that stuff back into use more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all connected to the right people who would want those things or that need those types of repairs.
Yeah. I guess also as like a owner of a product and trying to fix it yourself, and sometimes you fail, but once you're successful, you feel good about
it. It's a rewarding experience. Yeah. Yeah, repairing things. Yeah. Absolutely. And the more people who know how things work,
you start repairing everything else.
Well, there's just an effect on the culture, slow. Right? Yeah. The way, because that's like a mindset. There's a philosophical component to that of looking at something as the parts that make it instead of just the finished product.
Mm.
And that applies to all types of thought processes, viewpoints, etc. That if you're a person who wants to see the inside of something and learn how it works, that's a great approach to many different aspects of life. Let mm-hmm. me find out the ingredients that make the thing possible and have a better understanding of the whole earth, all available information because of my own curiosity about how things happen and not just what they do for me in their finished form.
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching recently disassembling pocket watch videos.
Mm.
And man, they're pretty in-depth, pretty like these little tiny microscopic parts.
I know. You think that repairing an iPhone is hard. It's like, no. Watchmaker stuff, man.
New appreciation to products in general.
That's a real Tinker Town. Well, anyway, shout out to Apple. Whether it was legal pressure or just their own decision, shout out to Apple because it's just better in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube co-founder predicts decline of the platform following removal of dislikes. A universally disliked change, says co-founder Joed Karim.
Remember him?
Yeah, he was the zoo guy.
Yeah.
That's the first video ever uploaded to YouTube. This has been such a controversial topic. Many creators have weighed in on it, and people think the dislike was very useful. People think that the dislike it was a way to immediately know if a video was like misleading,
sure,
ripped, a copy, a fake. This was the specific scenario that I saw being talked about, mm-hmm. where you could immediately see that discrepancy on the dislike to like ratio, and then know, oh, this is. I should have a different reaction to this because mm-hmm. I'm like, now that I know that there's something wrong with it, let's say. I don't think YouTube cares. Like,
definitely not the algorithm.
But what I mean to say by that is, this strikes me as one of those things that people are going to, I don't know, I could be wrong, but it strikes me as one of those things that people are going to yell about, be very angry about in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like the old days when something would change on social media, except people have more stamina for being displeased back then. But the way the cycle is now, something happens, people are angry for 5 minutes, and then you forget that it ever used to be any different than it is right now. And I don't know what I mean to say by that. Like, my position is, I think I'd rather have it there, the dislike bar. Like, all things considered, if you were to ask me right now, like, as a user, would you rather have it there? Yeah, sure. But YouTube has increasingly done things that are different from the way they have in the past, including embracing new formats like shorts, things like that,
mm-hmm.
where increasingly YouTube seems to be aware of its competition for time spent. And I think that they weigh all these things as they make these decisions. You don't have the dislike on in places like Facebook, right?
I think it's only thumbs up and comments.
You just have the like.
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of other emotes. What about on TikTok? Because here's the thing. No dislike, right?
No.
So you put this shorts program in and you hear these reports of all this watch time being gobbled up by these emerging platforms, and then what kind of magic is going into the reason behind why a platform is gathering attention and stealing it away from YouTube? And it's hard to decipher. It's so complex. And then so you look at these alternative platforms and how they operate and what they have going on. Instagram, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first you need content. You need a low barrier to entry, a low threshold for more content creators. Well, what's the first thing I say to people when they say, oh, I want to go create content on YouTube? I say, okay, well, can you, like, how do you deal with criticism? You might, if you're sensitive, it might bother you. that you get this kind of unfiltered feedback. Mm-hmm. Now, where does that unfiltered feedback happen? Well, it happens in the comments, but the thing about the comments is they kept getting more and more hidden. That's another change that's taking place. So YouTube's obviously aware of this. And as much as we look at YouTube from the viewer perspective, you know they're taking into consideration the viewer, the creator, the barrier to entry to make content, what's holding people back from posting more, dominance. How do you dominate? How do you maintain your lead? What are you missing, etc.? And one of the things on TikTok, which, like I said, I think they're viewing as major competition right now. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I just think that they are. TikTok, the barrier to entry seems low. You have people creating content on TikTok that I think never would have reached for YouTube. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, you're just making it on your phone. Second of all, it all seemed very lovey-dovey up until recently. Mm-hmm. Like, all very positive and whatnot. Look, it's just a heart and that's the end of it. I mean, maybe you can get a survey here and there. So, listen, man, there's always reasons for this. It's not just some, like, frivolous decision that YouTube woke up in the morning. Susan woke up in the morning and was like, night-night, dislike. No, man, they're looking around at the landscape. They're trying to compete, and they're going to do anything necessary to compete. That's not really to do with us. Mm-hmm. They want to remain in the lead. And they must feel that to a certain extent, no matter what they're going to say about it, they say, oh, it's mental health of the users, yeah, the producers, whatever. No. It is mental health of the users, but it's mental health of the users or the producers because we need what they're doing and we need them to keep doing it at a high level. Mm-hmm. Their mental health is beneficial to our bottom line. Mm-hmm. The viewer's mental health is beneficial to our bottom line. Fatigue hurts our bottom line. Pain and suffering hurts our bottom line.
Yeah. We're all drawn towards drama. So.
End of the day, whatever. I mean, I kind of like the fact that YouTube was holding on to this weird thing from the old days, this dislike button. It kind of made it different. Mm-hmm. But I knew the days were numbered because YouTube keeps seeing that market share slip away when it comes to attention and time spent. YouTube was the only game in town, man. And then video popped up everywhere.
Sure.
No one was doing video.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, Will. I realized I wanted to tell you a story and I never...
Oh, okay.
I wanted to tell you.
Do you think it would be a good time right now?
I don't know, because it looks like your tabs are stacked. Maybe I should save it.
No.
You got stacked tabs right now.
No, let's...
All right, so...
You've been saving this story for a couple of days.
All right. Anyway, the RIP dislike button.
Yeah.
YouTube's out here competing at all costs, man. I was at the grocery store. It's not a common occurrence.
Which one?
It was Sobeys.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
Yeah. Okay.
Big fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the colors.
Have you been recently?
No.
Okay. So I was there. It was one of those things. I got a text. It's like, hey, you need to pick up a few items. Simple text. I'm on the way back. I dropped the kids off. I'm on the way back. I pop in. I walk in the front door and I get stopped in my tracks. I'm stopped. I'm frozen in my tracks. Walk in the front door.
The automated doors.
Yeah, it's an automated door. I'm past the door.
Okay.
I get into the entry area where you normally have all the carts and stuff, and I'm frozen in my tracks. You know why?
No way.
Because I saw the new high-tech cart.
Oh.
Right over there. I saw the new high-tech cart. Wow.
We talked about this a year ago.
Yeah, we talked about it a year ago. It's there now. And you know I had to be grabbing that cart. I saw everyone else skipping that cart. Everyone else was scared of that cart. No, man.
So you weren't fighting anyone?
No, nobody wanted a smart cart. Now, I'm sure that this technology is rolled out elsewhere.
So do you want to explain what this is?
So this cart, like I said, it's a company. It's a third-party company that makes it. I think they're called Caper. And I think this is available to any supermarket, store, whatever, that wants to utilize it. Sobeys just so happens to be one around here that seems to embrace it. They got about 20 carts, I would say.
And it looked like this one?
Yep, here? That's exactly what it was.
Okay.
And this cart has a scanner on it. It has a tap portion for your card to pay, and it has a touchscreen, which has deals and stuff on it.
And it also has a, was it a UV light?
It has a light, and it has a camera, multiple cameras. It can see the inside of the cart at all times.
Oh, okay.
And has a scale, because it has to be able to tell what you're putting in.
Right.
Like how much of something, especially if it's produce. Mm. Now, you can scan a barcode, or you can manually pick something if it's produce doesn't have a barcode on the touchscreen. And then the beauty of this is you just walk out, right? You pay, you tap, and you walk out, and that's it. You don't go through a cash register. You don't go to a self-checkout. It all happens on the cart. It's kind of like a slightly lower tech version of the stuff that Amazon was trying to do.
Okay. And how many were these?
There's about 20 of them.
20.
Yeah, maybe. Compared to, say, 100 of the regular carts beside them.
Okay.
Now, there's a few issues here with it, but the experience overall did feel like the future to me.
Hmm. So you had a positive experience.
Well, what I liked about it, I felt I had a little bit more fun in the store. I felt a little bit more autonomous for some reason. Like I was exploring the wide world of products.
I see.
Like I was on a ride of sorts.
You were a baby again.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was just it was probably novelty. I don't know that I was any faster at doing anything, but I just love, I love technology, man.
Yeah.
I love technology and I like to experience, look at things differently that you do as like a sort of a frequent routine event.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just explain to you some of the problems with it though. I mean, it's not perfect, obviously. Items that are like in a box, like a cereal box, let's say, perfect. Scan it, drop it. The weight is bang on every time.
Mm.
No issues. But like I picked up a rye bread. Okay. It was a light rye from some bakery called Rudolph's, which I thought was fitting with the Christmas coming up and whatnot.
Mm.
You eat rye bread?
I'm a fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like rye.
Yeah. I put some eggs on it with just salt and pepper.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. I didn't need very much on it.
Yeah.
The bread was good. But the problem was it came from a bakery. Yes, it has a barcode, but the weight is not exactly what it says on the bag, like to the T. So the scanner was like, hey, I think you put the wrong item in. And then it shows you a replay on the screen, a video replay of you putting the item in to be like, hey, man, you might be wrong. And then it says to you, do you choose to ignore? Because you might get checked. Someone might come and check those items.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, fine, ignore. Come check my items. See if I'm lying.
Yeah.
And then on the left screen, you're seeing deals as you walk around the store, right? It's telling you what's on sale and things like this. You see what I'm saying? Like if you can catch a deal.
That is very useful.
See?
But you think it's negative?
What? No, I don't think it's negative. Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to talk about the bad.
I was, but there's two that are bad. So the bad first is that it doesn't nail everything. When okay. I got to produce, there was a 5-pack of avocados, but the avocados inside of the app that were by the pound. So it was confused because I had 5 small avocados to the point where I was like, screw the 5 avocado bag. I'm just going to take individual avocados.
Mm, okay.
And then that worked okay. So there was like a few little moments where I was like, ugh, this is a bit annoying.
Yeah.
But overall, it's like, well, that's just a problem with the data input. Like they don't
everything. Human error.
Yeah, everything is not in there yet.
Yeah.
So that was the problem with that. And then the next problem is, how the hell do you get it to your car? Now, this is not an issue if you're just picking up a few odds and ends. But for myself, I had for the first time, I bought the large bag of dog food.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is like, you know, I don't know how many pounds that thing is.
Yeah.
But it's a large bag.
Yeah.
And so then I got to the end and I was like, wait a sec. I'm not allowed to take this cart out of the store. Because this cart is worth a few grand.
You can't ship it out? You can't walk it to
no,
your
you
car?
No, you can't take this card out. You can't take this card out.
Why not?
I was about to walk out, and the woman working there came over. She can't, you can't take this card out. And I was like, oh, okay. Damn, you're right. I can't take this card out. Makes sense. Dude, with the elements and what, it's about to snow over here. You don't want these multi-thousand dollar carts out in the parking lot getting left out there?
No, you don't.
You don't want that. So
But
I had this really weird moment of having to transfer everything from this cart to another cart. That's the dumbest thing ever.
Right.
So that's what I had. That was the worst moment. But what you would do normally, you see the way that person has it set up with the bags already inside? Mm-hmm. What you would do normally is just be filling up two or three bags that you're going to carry with you, and then you bring the cart back to the docking location. You've already paid. You take your three bags and you go. Now, in my case, when I added that big dog food bag, I was no longer able to.
You were over the top there.
I couldn't one trip it. I could not one trip it.
Yeah.
So I kind of screwed up on that front. But I recommend you go check it out. Give it a try.
Sure. Yeah.
And we'll hear what you have to say about it. Pick up a few items and just know there's going to be some growing pains with it. But it's a futuristic gadget in an unexpected place inside the supermarket. But now I also do understand why Amazon's approach is like retina scans, because they don't even want you to think about any of this. They just want you to buy.
Yeah. Well, this is a nice little bridge to what is inevitably like you walk in, take whatever you want, walk out.
Honestly, the part that I totally missed that is the key, the biggest key here, you don't wait in the line to check out.
Right, yeah. Because there's a payment system on the shopping
cart. Yeah, whether it's the self-checkout or a typical checkout, you don't wait in line.
They don't take cash, though. It doesn't take cash.
No, it's tap your phone or your card. But you just get up and go. That's it.
Yeah.
Imagine all the extra people that would still be standing in the store that are gone because they check out much more efficiently this way.
Wow. Minor nuisance. I didn't think we'd be talking about a smart shopping cart review.
Well, the thing was, I recall on this show that we talked about it ages ago, and here we are now. I encountered it in real life organically. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this came full circle. I gotta say what's going on here. So
would you use it again?
Yeah, I'll use it again.
Okay.
Yeah. I might even go to Sobeys just to use it, because I find it fun to just be like a beta tester.
Yeah.
I guess we're beyond beta, but I like, even if it fails, I don't really get irritated. I'm more like, huh, okay. I see where the edge of that technology is at the moment. Like, I like to just be a part of it, an early adopter. So,
yeah. It is kind of unfortunate that not everyone is clamming to use it.
No, no one's grabbing it. Nobody's grabbing them. But imagine it's after work, let's say. It's busy in there.
Yeah, you might consider it if you're in a rush.
Because then you'd be like, huh, can I just check out right on there without being in the lineup? Mm-hmm. If the lineup can get to 10, 20 people trying to check out, and it's like, why are we waiting here? We can pay. All we need to do is tap. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my story, Will. I know you have many more. Let's get to it.
Okay.
Today's sponsor, DoorDash, making me hungry every time. I just actually noticed on this main page here that they have a carton of Ben and Jerry's on there.
Oh, it's a good time.
I would say that ice cream would happen to be one of my main weaknesses.
What's your flavor?
Oh, God, don't make me choose a Ben and Jerry's flavor, because I love them all so very much. Like, I've been noticing this recently. You order off DoorDash, and then it'd say, hey, you want us to make a pit stop? Anything you forgot? Should we go to grocery for you?
Yeah, Q-tips. So I got Q-tips with Jollibee.
Hey, man. Whatever you need. They don't care. They're not asking any question.
Sure.
They're like, that's what you need. The national favorites, the Chipotles and such. Mm-hmm. So you can get those too. It's really up to you, man. It's so much variety. It gets me hungry every time.
Get what you want to eat right now and right to your door with DoorDash. Ordering is easy, and your items will be left safely outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on the first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LULATER2021. That's 25% off, up to $10 in value, and zero delivery fees on your first order. Thank you to DoorDash.
We're also sponsored by ZocDoc. This is making it easy to find a doctor when you need one, not later.
Not like a week from now or a month from now. Not some other type of specialist or something.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually, with some specifics in there, you see primary care, dentist, OBGYN, dermatologist, psychiatrist, whatever you need. Eye doctor. Whatever you need. Mm-hmm. You get your eyes checked every so often, don't you, Will?
Yeah, I need the eye doctor. And maybe the dentist as well.
Okay. And it's like everything else you buy in your life is about time to apply it over here.
Yes.
You want to know what you're getting involved in. Am I getting a good product? Am I going to get a good service? So you have rankings. And it's actually broken down. You can see their overall ranking, bedside manner, which is a funny terminology in doctor land.
It's a bit cheeky. Just download the free ZocDoc app, the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Go to ZocDoc.com/LouLater and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc.com/LouLater. Yeah. Did you see this story?
I did. I saw the headline. I didn't read it. Ford invents a cable that can charge electric cars in about 5 minutes. Patent pending technology. 5 minutes is obviously a game changer. I presume you've done tremendous amount of research on this topic and you can break it down for us.
Well,
how
no,
have they
I
done
can't.
This?
So this is just a concept.
The cable features a unique liquid cooling system that can phase the liquid into vapor, which improves the ability to dissipate heat. Whoa!
Yeah, so it's not like transferring the electricity faster. It's just how do you cool that system so it doesn't overheat. It's all about heat in this situation.
Right, if it overheats, you're not charging anything.
Exactly.
The automaker and Purdue University are co-developing a charging cable for use with high-power charging stations that could recharge an electric vehicle's battery in the same time it takes to fill a gas tank. Well, that's the critical moment, isn't it? And the demand is there. The demand is there now. Seems obvious. The writing is on the wall for the combustion engine, although some people hate to say it, hate to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional types, they like the rumble and the bumble and the bum 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 bum. Yeah, if you can charge your EV in 5 minutes in that nice little clean procedure, it's a wrap, Will.
And the same price as gas, would you, yeah?
It's cheaper than gas right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess you're right. Demand goes up. And cost goes up. The most powerful stations currently in use charge electric cars to 80% in 20 to 40 minutes. Yeah, that's that DC high-powered stuff that can do that. But 5 minutes is a different ballgame altogether. It's 5 minutes compared to 40, mm-hmm. right? On the Plaid... It was like 35 at 150. So
okay.
I haven't experienced 20 yet. I think the Taycan can do it, but those chargers are nowhere. Like you gotta go to the dealer.
You gotta dig into the ground, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I gotta call the local authority to put one of those chargers in. Cost me a couple hundred grand or something.
Yeah.
Hyundai goes really big with his latest electric concept video.
Yeah, there's another
concept.
There's
no video here.
Yeah, there's no video.
Concept.
There's a lot of screenshots.
Vehicle, but... not video. That looks cool. I'm
it
down.
It does, eh?
It's kind of Rivian almost. Little Rivian in there with a light bar in the shape.
Sure, yeah. You can say that.
I could say that. I did say that.
It's got like a pixel panel at the front, the bumper there.
It's a personality? Would you call it personality?
It does. Yeah. I think it does.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The interior. Is a comfortable looking space.
I just thought, yeah, like the look of it, the visuals look really nice.
Did you call that lime green in there? Is that what that is?
This is, yeah, party lime green.
Yeah, it's very lime. Very neon. It actually makes me thirsty or something.
These lights actually serve a purpose beyond just lighting things up.
Mm.
They said that it's going to act like a UV light. As well. So it kind of just sanitizes the whole interior.
People every love time. The sanitization.
But I would imagine like this would be, you know, in the future where this is a taxi.
Mm.
Like a completely automated taxi, no drivers.
Fully and sanitized at all times.
Yeah. It's just,
did
it's
you
a
see
cool
that
feature.
Other concept which looks like a car from the 80s?
Oh, yeah, that was one of the stories, but...
Was that Hyundai as well?
I didn't open it.
Well, that one doesn't, that other one, it might have been Kia or Hyundai, but that one doesn't look feasible. This looks feasible just based on the sort of modern aesthetic that seems normal. Does it say anything else about expected range? Is it just strictly a concept? The 7 is one of the biggest concepts we've seen from the South Korean automaker. Wheelbase that stretches 10.5 feet longer than the Cadillac Escalade. Oh, that's a big vehicle. Extra tall grille also puts this concept firmly in the dangerously large camp of vehicles that it includes the Escalade and other oversized SUVs and trucks. Coach-style doors, adjustable seating, and retractable controls. Oh, yeah, retractable controls are cool. When it's in autonomous, just get rid of the controls altogether. That's just a concept by the looks of it.
Charging, the Hyundai 7 is capable of charging from 10% to 80% in about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Targeting range of over 300 miles.
A vision of the automaker's autonomous vehicles may look like in the future. Yeah, I don't know if there's no specifics. They're not like saying when they're making it or whatever. Oh, no, actually, go down. There's a link right there. Heritage Series Restomod EV. Yeah, that's
this
it.
This is the classic.
Yeah, that's the one super villain vehicle. I would buy that.
That's cool.
I would totally drive that. Like, no problemo. The interior is as cool, if not more cool than the exterior.
With the simple rims?
I mean, that was luxury, like, you know, 40 years ago or whatever.
Scroll on tint.
Scroll down and see if we can get the interior shots. It's definitely super villain territory. Look at the interior. I mean, the interior is better than the exterior.
Yeah.
The red seats. I mean, it's like, it's weird how sometimes you find that balance between retro and future.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how sometimes retro items and stylings seem way more futuristic than futuristic visions. That's strange.
Yeah. I almost feel like the style is necessarily boxy.
Oh, yeah.
Like for retro futuristic looking stuff.
Well, you're going to need some extreme battery efficiency here because that's not winning yeah. any drag coefficient challenges as far as EVs go. So we might be a few years off on this one, but damn, I'll take that one, man. I'll take that one. I'll take that one with only, I'll take that one too. I'll take that one with 200 miles of range is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's order one then.
200 miles. Crypto time with Willie Doo. It's been a long time since we had a Willie Doo crypto update. How's your crypto, Will?
Yeah. A bit of a slump.
Yeah, you're slumping.
It's December soon. And,
yeah. You're all over the place. You're
I think it's going to be a crypto winter.
Oh, okay. All right. You've been watching too much content, say something like that.
Yeah, what a name, eh?
This story, crypto.com buys naming rights to the Lakers Staples Center in a $700 million deal. Crypto money ain't like other money. It's like play money, the way people goof around with crypto.
Sure, yeah.
Whether it's NFTs or just Staples Center, we'll take that. We're crypto.com. We're going to go right from Matt Damon to Staples Center. It's weird. Staples Center seems so iconic at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess anything can do that if it has enough time. The stadium here in Toronto has changed names 50 times. I hate always having to say the new one.
But it's, what is it now?
Scotia.
So Scotiabank Center?
Scotiabank Arena?
Arena. So it has like a context to it, right?
Right.
Just like the Staples Center. But they actually want to call it crypto.com.
Not arena?
No. No. It's just straight
crypto.
Up.
Crypto.com building?
Just crypto.com.
The Staples Center will be renamed for crypto.com next. No, it's going to have to be the crypto.com center or something.
I don't believe
it. You got to have a name, man. The deal links crypto.com with one of the NBA's top brands, offering crucial brand awareness as the cryptocurrency platform positions itself to capture market share in the growing digital currency space. The name change will take effect Christmas Day as the Lakers host Brooklyn Nets in the National Basketball Association's annual Christmas Day game. Oh, they even target the day, the Christmas Day game. Iconic. They got money, man. Damn. Why don't they sponsor this show? Didn't they reach out? Can't you reach back to them? Yeah, reach back to them. Be like, hey, man.
I heard you got that Staples Center money.
Yeah, this podcast, this is not called Lou Later. This is called the crypto.com. not the crypto.com show. It's just called the crypto.com.
Yeah.
That's the name of this. I don't know if you knew that well.
Yeah. Can you hit us up again, Mr. Crypto?
Yeah, crypto.com. Come on, man. It's not enough the Staples Center. You need to get out there. We're cheap compared to that.
Sure.
Good Lord. That makes, hang on, just go back 1 second. This is one of the richest naming rights agreements in sports. In September, the Clippers agreed to a $500 million deal with management tech company Intuit. And Chase Bank in 2016 struck a 20-year deal for $300 million for the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, man, $700 million. Crypto.com. Going for it, man.
What do you think they're going to name it? Crypto Center? No, it's crypto.com.
No, it's going to be the crypto.com center.
Oh, that sounds so weird.
That's what it's going to be. Or crypto.com arena, one or the other.
Yeah.
Or stadium. It could be crypto.com stadium.
And it has to be .com. They have to add that in there?
I think so, because crypto, if someone goes and Googles crypto, they're getting all kinds of stuff.
That's true.
They want the .com. I think they got on the jersey. Yeah, they did. The Portland Trail Blazers got a crypto patch on the jersey.
Same with the UFC as well.
And the Miami Heat home arena is named after a different crypto platform, FTX. And that deal was only $135 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, obviously the Staples Center is going to cost a couple more bucks.
Kareem's not happy. Look at his face.
He's looking right up at the article.
Yeah.
I think he's got other issues going that he cares about more than the naming and the cryptos. Drake is offering virtual tours of Toronto Estate via new Drake-related website.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do? What do I want to do? I tour his. Oh, that's cool. Never mind.
So this is a little snippet.
They did a good job of it.
So there's a garage. You enter the lounge, and you can end up in his bedroom. But what's
that's a dream come true.
Yeah, yeah. You can kind of see a layout of. Obviously, it's not like, you know, his real estate. It's just kind of like a rendering.
Yeah. You know, it's like a video game.
Yeah, for people listening,
it's like Sims.
What's interesting about this little tour is
what's that room called right there? It's still part of studio or
no? This is going to the studio.
But, where are we here?
Oh, the bedroom.
Oh my goodness, we're in the bedroom. He likes that style of couch. It's a lot of those couches.
Yeah,
I guess he has a pet as well. It looks like there's a pet.
It's a very loungy couch
bed thing going on over there.
Well, part of this idea is the fact that like you can look through his things and you can actually buy stuff. So there's like OVO apparel.
Wow.
Oh, and yeah, other partnerships.
I see the cart up in the corner there.
Yeah.
That's innovative. I don't mind this. This is kind of cool. It's different. I mean, I've never seen it before. I guess you can't really play the game. It'd be cool if you could play the game as well.
Yeah.
Like
his albums here.
You know, are there any intro? Can you play music? Can I tap the keyboard or something? I'm asking too much right now.
No, but there's like obviously sponsorship deals in here.
Yeah.
Like you can just be in Drake's house and then having the illusion of just like in there and then you could buy their stuff.
It's funny the microphone placement. I guess the room is so well treated that he can just record right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I like the mic stand too. I think it has wheels on it. I like the couch too. Like, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's an octagon. It's partial octagon. Some little items over on the side there. Can we do more rooms? I don't mind this. This
you
is cool.
You like this?
Yeah. Okay. Can you? Is that it? I only got three rooms. I can't go to the basketball court. Well,
no,
get out of here. I only got three rooms. Yeah. Take me to the garage then.
Okay, hold on. Let's.
You got more rooms, dude. Oh, the court isn't lit up yet. They're working on it.
Yeah, this app is really buggy.
Well,
it's really slow.
Is this official at all? Does this have to do with Drake? Someone else do this.
Yeah. So right now you can just visit the three rooms and the front foyer.
No, why can't I go to a garage?
They didn't build it yet.
Oh, man.
Like it's crossed out. I can't highlight it.
So I can do studio, bedroom, and lounge and front.
Yeah.
All right, they're working on it.
Yeah.
What do we got in front? There's a G-Wagon. There's a Rolls Royce. Is that another G-Wagon?
Yeah, it looks like it.
All right. Well, I mean that.
could have been a little. Is that the act? I guess that's the selection. Okay.
You can't buy those cards, apparently. You can't click on it.
Well, you can definitely buy them, but...
Yeah.
Not
through this
directly thing. From here. Cool.
Cool.
Beef has been... Oh, speaking of Drake, double Drake stories. Apparently, the Kanye West Drake beef is officially squashed. They're all chilling together in Toronto at that house that you recently virtually toured. Are the eyebrows still not there?
Man, looks so weird.
Okay, yeah, the eyebrows are still not
missing
there.
Missing a couple.
Drake, brows. In this photo, doesn't look super happy. Who knows? Photos are weird. Photos are weird.
That's Jay Prince as well.
So we were talking about Chappelle. Chappelle is in town. He's in Toronto for, he's doing a debut or like a screening of his upcoming movie, the documentary, and then doing a show. Mm-hmm. And so Chappelle was also there. Mm-hmm. And I guess it looks like Kanye tagged along.
Yeah.
And they were all hanging out at Drake's place.
Yep.
Were they in the lounge or the studio or now that you know his house so well from the virtual tour?
I'm thinking it's the lounge.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So you see them kind of just buddy buddies.
Monday night.
And it was a whole lot of beef before then, you know. But yeah, now they're friends.
Let me just go back up to the top real quick. Let me just see something here. Kanye West and Drake officially buried the hatchet. They're hanging out together in Drake's hometown. This pic was on Kanye's social media. And then Drake himself posted a series of videos, mm-hmm. seemingly squashing the beef as well. I mean, you knew it was going to be squashed because if you heard Kanye in the latest interview, he was like kind of indicating that it would have to be squashed.
There's respect there.
He was saying all kinds of complimentary things about Drake and saying,
like it's, yeah.
And it's better to squash things anyway. Scroll down a little bit more.
They're definitely not going to kill each other. Yeah. So, Kanye made a video on his Instagram, just kind of inviting Drake to, his event. I think December 7th, like, come over. Let's kick it.
Oh.
And he's reading off his phone. I guess he likes to do that.
Because he wants to hit all the key points?
Yeah, yeah.
Like teleprompter style. All right, whatever. Beef is squashed. Toronto visit. What can you really say?
Mm-hmm.
Pleasant times for those guys.
Yeah. All right, last one. Well, you watched this.
Oh, I watched this. This is, you just want to give this guy a shout out because it's...
Yeah.
Just too good. What would you call this content segment? That was quite the noise you just made there. You're like, oh.
It's a lot to take in. And it's hard to really describe what
it is. It's
like
a mashup. It's a type of mashup.
Is it a YTP?
It's not YTP. Because YTP has its own set of rules. I would say it's action. There's an action element to it. It's like a video collage. There's elements. I mean, it's really hard to put it into any category, but the name of it is When Conor McGregor Went Ultra Instinct, and the channel is Vidgeo, V-I-D-G-E-O,
yeah.
And it's just really a magical experience, this video. Will's going to show you a little bit of it. It's madness. It's the whole internet in one video.
It's just amazing editing.
It's tremendous editing. I mean,
like, so much work involved. A lot of memes.
It's fantastic. I mean, you don't want to show people the whole thing because you definitely want them to go watch it themselves.
It's just one of those things where, like, you watch a lot of predictable content on YouTube, you know?
Mm.
I was riveted from, like, the beginning to end. It's a 3-minute video, super short.
I'd say if you have an interest in MMA content, like MMA memes, then you love it because you have the pre-existing awareness. But also, I agree with you from the standpoint of just content and like a totally different like this moment. You got to program in. I mean, you got to do all the graphics for that.
Yeah.
That's a good moment too. All right, don't show them the whole video. They're not gonna go watch it, Will.
Tom Cruise is in there.
Diesel. It's all memes combined, and it's so smooth the way it all transitions together, and it's just really impressive. And you got to go give some love to VidGeo for all the effort that went into it.
Yeah.
You're gonna enjoy yourself. Have yourself a time. You're gonna feel the way Willie Doo felt when he first clicked on it. The entire internet came together in
one
3-minute clip. Never expected it to happen.